And the Board of Equalization meeting.
No, we're ready. Go ahead.
Now, we're ready to start our Board of Supervisors meeting. We'll call the meeting to order, and we'll begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall there. Attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, and Byers, Tiemann, and Lytle are absent. Consent agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held February 4th, 2015. Approve all claims through February 18th, 2015 in the amount of $380,321.34. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve caretakers for the Pioneer Cemeteries of Gage County for 2015 season. Approve register of deeds fee report for the month of January 2015. Approve specifications and call for bids on a 2015 industrial wheel backhoe loader. Bids to be opened on March 18, 2015 at 9:15 a.m. Approve specs and call for bids for spring 2015 rock and gravel. Bids to be opened on March 18, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. Approve Dale Kissling and Jared Spang as chairman and secretary of Highland Township Board. Approve canceling check number 150-10217 to pavers in the amount of $105.35.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill to approve. Comments? Questions? I think we'll call for the bids on the backhoe, and Galen presented those at the specifications at our committee meeting, in the same way with the rock and gravel. Highland Township there, that was the one last meeting that we were short two members. Dale Kissling had been on there before, and he agreed to do it again. And then Jared Spang is Mike Spang's son, who's going to do it kind of for Mike.
Myron, just to elaborate a little more on the backhoe. We're going to replace a 1994 model 426B on the bids that we're calling for up there, and we're keeping a 1990 John Deere. So,
any other comments? Otherwise, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda. Oh, we did already. We need
already
to vote. Sorry, we need to vote. Vote. 5-0. Approve or disapprove claim number 1502081 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $1,533. And what?
Well, I think we pulled that off because we thought Eric.
Right.
Conflict Eric. Of interest, yep. But yep. Since he's not here, it wouldn't yep. matter.
Yep. I would move to approve the claim number 1502081 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $1,533.
Second.
Motion by Bauer, second. Byers, seconded by Hill.
Apparently not.
Vote 5-0 with Tiemann absent. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Jim will be a little bit later here. Seeing none. Committee reports, building and grounds.
Nothing unusual. We will have something in March relative to the exterior of the building. Dave is working on that and working with people that we've had in the past. And we thought we'd get them in earlier, but decided to wait a little while, and we'll bring them in March. I think the 16th. I can't remember the exact date. But
equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
Just a comment on wage scales and step plans. I have had a phone call with the sheriff a couple weeks ago. Granted, that's in the bargaining agreement with the FOP, but I think there's, as we go through and look at all county employee wages, specifically those that are in the courthouse that we worked on several years ago, that's been probably 5 years since we've looked at that. So we need to go back and look at that wage scale, and I think we'll just wrap it in the sheriff's as we collect that data as well. maybe the highway department too. So we'll start gathering some of that data and maybe over the next couple months present a couple different things from time to time just to keep people up to date for the next budget year. That's it.
Human resource.
None.
And law enforcement, emergency management. Yes. I just maybe we can make a comment. Going up to sewer, do you tentatively set that date as?
Yeah. Myron had asked her a while back, and I mentioned to him that Seward has kind of been trailing along us, same issue has been having with their facility, and so they went ahead after their bond failed a few years later and did a nickel tax, but to get there through up there. But I had called up there. Myron asked if we would check to see if they would want to, if we can meet with them, see what the process they went through and how they're handling things. And so the sheriff checked with their commissioners, and they would meet with us on the 24th at 1. For those that like, actually, the board meeting for him that day, and the key people that that he thought we should talk to would be available. They've confirmed that. So if that date works and someone can go up or delegated by Myron, whoever, to go up, we can certainly do that.
Well, visit with Don, and because this is more of an informational type meeting, we can have more than three of us,
March
24th. If we don't take any action. So anybody who would like to go, I encourage on the 24th at 1 o'clock at the courthouse there.
No, they're going to be at the police department. I just have to give them a head count. Thinks be a little more, they got more room, training room, I guess, the police department. So that's where we'd go. But I need to have a kind of a count beforehand to tell them so they know.
And this is next week.
This is next Tuesday, the 24th at 1 o'clock, visiting about what they've done, how they've looked at what they're going to do and maybe what they're doing even, because I believe they've already proposed or
they're going already.
They're going with a bond.
No, they went with a nickel tax.
They went with a nickel tax, but I believe it was $10 million plus.
I don't know the amount.
We'll find that out.
Yeah,
don't know that. They hired a company and why they went through the process that they did to do what they're doing, I guess. Just more than anything to go visit and find. It's more of an informational gathering meeting, so not saying we're going to do anything with ours. But we formed a jail committee, and this is one, maybe the first step even in looking at.
And this is that police station?
Police station.
Not the sheriff's office.
Not the sheriff's office. They don't have room there, they said, so.
Okay, I'll try to.
And you can certainly, we can pool up, too, so it'll be a ride to drive together.
I'll try to do that. I've got a meeting in Lincoln, too, so I might need to meet you up there, but I'll make.
I'll plan on being there, too, and then just whoever else can. Well, I visited with Gary about it already. But I didn't visit with Eric about it.
Yeah, so who just gives me a call so I can, by hopefully, end of the week or something.
By this weekend here, by Monday morning we can.
That'd be good.
No,
get account.
Account, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. emergency management, Tim. Not, but tomorrow night. I guess we did have a meeting with Tim Friday at a committee meeting, but tomorrow night, John, Gary, and I right now are going to go down to Wymore at 7 o'clock and meet with Tim Oliver from the police department. I did visit with Klaus yesterday about the fact that we're having that, and part of that discussion is going to be with the Wymore Tower and maybe where our communication's going, and particularly in the southern end of the county, because not the Wymore Tower, Blue Springs Tower, because if we do something with the Blue Springs Tower, if we take it down, that affects all of the rural departments down there as well as the Wymore Police Department and everything. So more of a meeting for discussion than anything. Tim did, I believe, pass that out to everybody. He did come up with about three pages there that they had here a while back, a communication meeting, and outlining some of the things that they talked about and just throwing thoughts and ideas out there, maybe where to go if that tower comes down. So we'll go down, have a meeting there at 7 o'clock at the Wymore Police Department.
Fire department, right.
Wymore Fire Department. And as part of that, yeah, everybody should hopefully got that, the Gage County Law Enforcement and Fire EMS Communications Report. Part of that, though, too, then John set up here last month we were going to honor Mr. Winslow down there with a Veterans Award, and he's not able to make it up here, so we are going to go down there at 6:30 at the Wymore Legion, and John and I will be there for sure, and give him his plaque and everything. So they seem pretty excited about that. So they really, that's quite a good program that Matt started here and everything, and really the veterans in the county really are really appreciative of that. You hear a lot of really good comments back from them.
That's neat. Are we, is the county invited to the ECAP meeting, 7 o'clock Thursday night? Are they still having that?
You know, they are still having that in the county. We visited with Eric on Friday, and maybe Eric was going to attend, but maybe he also left, but he never visited. So I don't know. Are you able to attend that, or who? Yeah,
he's our representative now.
Yeah, he's our representative on the ECAP. But you know that we got an Engage board meeting at 4:00 then, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock that night. So if that maybe works, I don't know if it's at the same place. No, it's at the high school. It's at the school administration building where they're going to have that ECAP report, right?
Yep.
7 o'clock Thursday night, tomorrow night. So hopefully, yeah, somebody can attend that. That'd be great.
If we want to go, we can go.
Yes, if you want to go, you can sure go.
All right.
So, Road and Bridge.
Okay, Myron. We call for specs. This is a discussion calling for specs on spring rock and gravel. Those would be tentatively set for bids at March 18th at 9:30. Of course, discussion on 1 and 6 year plan. Highland Townships found their board members they needed to fill out. Had a little trouble with motor grader. Discussion on that is the 2008 model. It was hopefully a fluke thing. Engine trouble. Anyway, we're looking at a cost to repair that of $31,710 approximately. Also had trouble with the dirt crew all-wheel drive motor grader, and it was some error from the company a year ago in the spring, I think, and an air cleaner tube wasn't put on, so that motor also is going to be replaced, but it's on them. Thank goodness.
Yeah, the bad news was we had a $31,000 bill. The good news is the other one, we're cats standing behind that one.
Exactly.
Because we've had tough luck there. Yeah.
Yes. Discussion on weight limits again. We'll continue to have some of those discussions today. Also, a lot of discussion on road conditions. You know, after that snow, wet snow, there was a lot of issues that arose. And I've talked to Galen, and I think we're going to maybe, well, some of the things I think are bringing this on so people can understand, you know, the ripple. A lot of it is that Crown and a lot of these heavily trafficked roads is being lost, and I think what's happening is pushing down and coming to the outside, basically like a mushroom effect, which is doing a lot of the damage on these roads because the water's just sitting there now, once you. Quality of the material, I think, that's going on sometimes questionable. And the more fines you have out there, the easier it is to get those ripple effects out in the road. So, and with volume and heavier traffic. So it's all a combination of everything. So we'll aggressively try to address that whenever we can this spring. Our new John Deere Traco was delivered on February 12th. And basically, discussion on quite a few other little items, wind farm zoning, tree letters for the townships, about it.
Any more comments? Thank you, Dirk. The 1 and 6 year, that is a timed event at 9:30. Should we go ahead and do the hospital thing? Does that work?
Jim's here.
Jim's here. So
I just know for the record, you have an agenda item there that's talking about approve or disapprove authorization on the refinancing of the hospital bonds. And basically, I put that on there, I asked Don to put it on there just in case we needed to take some action. Now, the hospital authority, and Jim will go through this here in a moment, went ahead and had their meeting this morning. He'll bring you up to date on that. And so basically, this is an informational for the board so you understand what the refinancing meant for the hospital and why they asked this to be done. So I'll let legal counsel for the hospital talk.
Yeah.
I'll make this short. As
Name and...
James Nelson, 108 South 6th Street, Beatrice, Nebraska.
Thank you.
I represent the hospital, the Beatrice Community Hospital and the Health Center. This is informational to you. As you're all aware, back in 2009 when we initially started building the hospital, initial bonds were issued. Those were single placement bonds. They were replaced in 2010 by a Series A bond, a $15 million bond issue, and a Series B, a $30 million bond issue. Those were publicly issued bonds sold to the public. Because of that, that required the hospital authority to meet, approve the issuance of those bonds. Because they were publicly issued and new issuance, that also required the county board to meet and approve or disapprove the issuance of those bonds. We did that in 2010. The 2010 A bonds, the $15 million issue, those bonds are callable in June of this year, 2015. Those have a graduated rate. Surprise, surprise, interest rates did go down again between 2009 and now. We've started this discussion pretty close to a year ago about whether we should consider calling those bonds in June of 2015. Last fall, we did some preliminary numbers. We utilized Lancaster Pollard, who was the agent that we used when we issued those bonds in 2010. They made some just general inquiries about what rates might be out there. Bottom line was last fall, the decision was made to move forward with refunding those bonds and refinancing them. The discussion was, should we issue publicly issued bonds so that individuals could buy those bonds, or because of the dollar amount, would we go out and ask for a single purchaser, basically a bank, to buy the whole bond issuance? The interest rates are substantially lower if it's a single issuance bond rate, and the costs are substantially less as well. The hospital and through Lancaster Pollard sent out requests for proposals, bids, so to speak, to I'm not sure how many different banks, 8, 10, 12 different banks, and the local banks as well. I would mention this. That proposal was submitted by Security First Bank out of Rapid City, who has branches here. Pinnacle Bank was asked to submit a proposal. They declined. They didn't. First National Bank of Omaha was asked, and they submitted a proposal. The lowest rate was through American National Bank. They're in Omaha. Their rate looks like it's going to end up at 2.25%. Their fees were substantially less than anyone else. So that's who we have chosen. Hospital Authority met this morning. They approved the refunding of the $15 million bond issue. There's just a little over $11 million outstanding on that issue. This bond is for the same maturity. It's a fixed rate versus a increasing rate. It looks like it'll be about 2.25%. Depending on how you play with the numbers on present value, whether you use 2% or 4%, it's about $212,000 a year in interest savings. So pretty close to $1 million, $1.5 million. Again, depending on what you use for a discount, present value rate, that we will save in interest payments. The downside is some people that bought those bonds that have been getting tax-exempt interest, they'll get those bonds paid off early, and they won't get their 3 to 5% interest. That's the downside. The upside is for the community and for our hospital. We'll save some money, substantial amount of money. Talking with bond counsel, Baird Holm is our bond counsel, again, out of Omaha. We are not required, because it's a refunding and refinancing under the Nebraska statute or under the IRS regs, we are not required to ask for a public hearing for the county board. We're not required to have a formal approval by the county board. But we thought it would be best, so when you hear it in the community, that you gentlemen would know what was going on. We're going to close this thing in March because the rate's been locked in. We don't want to run the risk of the rate maybe going up. We said this before. We thought the interest rate was about as low as it could get. I don't know how much lower we can get than 2.25%, but we'll take that little bit of a gamble and lock it in. Questions? Like was said earlier this morning, we appreciate taking up your time. It's helpful for the hospital. It's helpful for the other bond issuers, healthcare providers, the process of issuing tax-exempt bonds. I think you still have some Mosaic bonds out there. We take your time, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for the report, Jim. John, do you want to do the weight limits now?
That's good.
Yeah, we have next on here, we have discussion of weight limits for the county roads. And I think we'll have Galen come up too. And part, I believe a couple meetings ago, we did change some on the Holmesville, the three miles going up to 136 there on Holmesville. We did change those weight limits because of what we put on as a county last fall, that some things have shown up that maybe we didn't have that right. And since then, Galen's also had some more comments here at our last committee meeting about the fact that there's some other things, I guess. So we thought we did a pretty good job of planning or looking at it, and we're finding out that there are things out there that we just didn't foresee or whatever, or take into account, I guess, and stuff. So, Galen, if you want to visit a little bit about, I guess, why we're having a discussion again. And not, we're not going to change anything at this meeting, but we are discussing, and we wanted to make sure Mark was here so that you could be a part of this here today, because there's some questions and stuff. So,
well, we found out that even with our own county trucks, our truck and pups and stuff, where we have the on the bottom of the weight limit sign, we have a total weight limit of 80,000 pounds, that even with our own truck and pups, that we've got to load lighter, approximately 7.5 to 8 ton, to stay within that restriction. And for the hauling around the county, especially when it's wet, we try to stay on hard surfaced roads to get to our point to go on the gravel road, so we don't tear up existing gravel roads getting there. And with the weight limit on and hauling that lesser amount, that 7.5 to 8 ton, it's just not feasible. I mean, it's going to add a lot to the cost. So that's why I asked the Road and Bridge to revisit this issue on that.
With that being said, Myron, you know, everything on the sign is still correct. I mean, the poundage for each axle and everything, that doesn't change. It's just the idea that these heavier haulers or more axle trucks are legally capable of carrying more. So probably where we erred was that 80,000 limit at the bottom. With that being said, the reason behind that was we all remember the cost of this bond issue and everything. Our intention was to keep these roads in the best condition for as long as we could. But I'll be the first to admit, I think on that total limit out there, if the axles are there, that that should be raised, I guess. I think that's probably the only solution, just to raise that bottom line down there or take it off, one of the two. And I would like to have maybe Mark, any comments on that?
It's kind of a complicated question.
Could you come up here? Yeah, Mark. Or over there, Galen, yeah.
The axle weight, which Terry, what you're trying to get at is they got a maximum axle weight.
Could you identify yourself first, please, for the record?
Just so we have it on the record.
The sheriff's here. Mark Minnelli, Minnelli Wagner and Associates.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. So if you're looking at a 20,000-pound maximum axle loading, then we look at different axle groupings and how they equate to an equivalent axle load for your pavement design. So the 20,000-pound axle loading is what goes into those, and then those two-axle, three-axle groups have different impacts on that equivalent axle. So what that means is One truck may actually have the equivalent axle truck loading of multiple trucks, so which is obvious, right? You got a truck and a trailer, you'd expect it to have more impact than just a straight truck. So by limiting the actual load or the group on those, the weight on those different groups is where we get in trouble and we start overloading. So it's not necessarily the gross vehicle weight, which is what you're finding out. It's the limiting the axle loading on those groups. Now, if we went back to a year or so ago when we talked about design parameters for asphalt, and we had those charts about easels and where they come from and what happens when we overload them and they really start to explode, that's where you guys started to get excited about the seasonal overloads. And a seasonal overload on an axle group may add an easel to a truck route. But there's two things to remember. There's external parameters for your asphalt roads. That's this method that we look at to determine the thickness of the asphalt or the pavement structure we need based on whatever material it is. The subgrade, the existing asphalt, and the new asphalt, we come up with a thickness that we need, but that makes assumptions that the internal strength of that material can handle the distribution of those loads. So what's the result of not having enough of that? Rutting. Rutting is the issue, which we're going to talk about later on one of our roads coming out of the quarry. So the silver bullet, a lot of our roads lasted because we didn't have anybody use them. Well, that wasn't necessarily acceptable to everybody. So now we've put some structural depth on these things, and now we're going to allow the axles to go. So we're going to see some activity. So what we've been doing, and we could talk about this when we talk about the quarry road, is we've been plotting your test results from your cores and two of the tests we've been doing versus the rutting. So when we go test a road, we can try to anticipate what rutting we will have with certain numbers of trucks. So by plotting that and the stiffness and the flow, which we'll talk about in Road and Bridge because I don't want to bore everybody here, but the two test results we do, we can plot them and then plot it against what we're measuring for the existing rutting out there. But that's also going to be based on a road that has limited heavy loads on them from the previous years. So using that data, we can try to project how much damage we anticipate to have on our roads based on those parameters. The higher those values, the less rutting we would anticipate. So the quarry road has medium values, so we would expect more rutting in there. Plus, it's getting hammered. So I don't know if I answered your question. So if you take off the gross vehicle weight, I don't think that's going to be any worse than what you had because you're already telling them they could have 20,000 pounds on an axle.
Right. We were at 20,000 pounds on an single axle,
yep.
34 on a tandem
yes.
axle, and 42 on a triple axle.
Right.
But we had a total weight limit of not to exceed 80,000 pounds. And part of why we also had the discussion of 80,000 pounds was we didn't want to allow the harvest permit or what the
right.
state exempts you for that and going with up to 15% more.
Right.
And that was part of our discussion in this, but when we came up with the original thought.
So. And the other part of it is, you know, a majority of the trailers, the new trailers you see now are all triple axled, along with the trucks that are pulling are all triple axles, you know. So with that being said, you take 42 and 42, you come up with 84 right there, you know. So plus your front end that you can carry on mm-hmm. the truck itself. So supposedly... these restrictions at 42,000 is supposed to, with on three axles, should take care of the damage according to what we see here. I mean, the extra damage because you've got that one extra axle carrying, but it's the thing that you're going to, it's just another axle going over the road that in time is going to show. So, but with what I see and what's probably coming down the road, my opinion is that we probably should change that bottom restriction on there. So,
how much tougher is it on the roads during the spring thaw period?
A lot tougher.
A lot tougher. Is it a factor of 2 or 10 or
Well, obviously we get sublatent moisture in the subgrade, which allows our pavement to flex more. That's the problem when the frost or the frost boils come out in areas. So it's significant. So one of the factors that goes into our pavement design is the base stability number. And obviously when it's frozen, it's like concrete, so it doesn't matter. So we take that into account on our seasonal truck. So how much is in the wintertime? And then we take that into effect, and then we've got fall when it's getting a lot of the heavy loads, and then spring. So if the base falls out and we have frost coming through, it's going to be way more than a factor of two. It's because if that base falls out of it, it doesn't matter what kind of pavement you have. So what a lot of counties do is they'll seasonally post their roads where they know they're going to have those issues. And, John, I know you have a road that you're very concerned about. And they'll go up there, and the board can do it two ways. They can either just post the road permanently, or they can seasonally post the road for up to, I believe it's 90 days, or I'd have to review it, but that based on those conditions. And what they do is they advertise and the signs go up. And there's a lot, and they do that on gravel roads too, a lot of counties do, because they can't hold the, now you can't prevent people within those miles from getting to their property, but you can prevent the through traffic and to save their roads. A lot of counties do that.
And it's actually more than one road that I have concern about for the frost limit, but not all of them necessarily. Right. But, you know, I could see going to 95,000 with somehow putting a frost limit in place. And I don't know if there's any means of lifting that during, you know, like right now the frost is back in.
You can. You can put it in and out.
Put it in and out.
And there's signs at every mile. And it goes up, and usually what we do is we do a press release and put something in the paper saying, hey, it's coming. You know, and some counties just don't want the in and out stuff, so they just put it up.
Yeah.
They warn everybody and say, hey, haul your feed now because it's going up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Stockpile, and then and up it goes. And when the frost is out, down they go.
And I guess, and I'll ask this as a question, I guess. If we had a frost limit in place for the spring thaw period, going to 95,000 would be easier on the roads than keeping it in place at 80,000 year-round.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have most of your damage in the spring. I mean, just like when you guys are hauling rock and gravel because people are freaking out, that's exactly what your roads are going through. Just because there's pavement doesn't mean it's not there. It's exact same time frames. And if we have good drainage when the rains come, then that gets off. But then when that frost comes out, that's your roads are exhibiting the same problems as you're just not seeing it until it works its way through the pavement. So that would be another tool that you could have to help offset.
Yes.
Okay. Byron, one more comment I'd like to make on that, you know, and the other kind of in the back of everybody's mind at the time, you know, interstate roads are posted at a weight limit not to exceed 80,000. So in the back of our minds, you know, we're thinking, well, you know, that's probably a good idea. You don't see that heavier traffic. You see a lot of traffic. But that over, they're posted. I mean, you can get permits to do different things on these roads if you want to. But the normal on an interstate road, at least I know through Nebraska anyway, is a total limit of 80,000. So.
And there's legislature in committee right now to up that significantly,
and I would,
which is going to kill us.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but I'm hoping that DOT's taking a stance against that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, part of our discussion when we had this originally was the life of the road, the condition of the road, and because of the cost of our bond, how do we extend the life of that road as long as we can? And that's part of why we came up with the proposal, I guess we kind of did.
I agree, and I don't disagree with what you did, but let me give you an analogy. My oldest son saved money for his whole young life because he wanted a Mustang when he was 21, and he saved the money, he bought it. And for the first year, he never drove it. He just went and looked at it and washed it and whatever. And at one time, I said, what are you doing? He says, I want this to last. And I said, what good is it if you never use it? And we're torn in between that same deal. Now he's driving it all over the place, enjoying it, knowing that it's eventually going to be that first car that we wish we all kept. And that's where you guys are struggling, because the last decision was, is we're not going to use these roads and we're going to save them forever. now we're on the other side, so we got to find that happy medium. So
we're trying to find that something that's doable and workable for
exactly.
everybody in
and
the county.
Yeah. And I applaud you for it, because you're actually educating yourselves along the way and to come up with that medium that the constituents can use the roads reasonably, and we don't have to bond $10 million every 5 years.
Yes.
And I guess the other thing is several of our blacktop roads have bridges that significantly limit the tons that can be on them.
And you're fixing those now, too.
No, not all of them.
Some of them. We're hammering on them. So.
Yeah, some of them.
No, and I think we had some discussion a couple of weeks ago when, from Beatrice Concrete there, you brought it to our attention with that Holmesville Road, and then we thought, well, that's just a one-road thing. We don't have to worry about it until Galen come back and said, now our drivers are hauling 7.5 less ton. And we go, well, that's kind of dumb. That's not saving us anything as a county. You know, then we'd be better off hiring somebody else to haul it and paying them as doing that ourselves. So that's why we're having this discussion again. I believe as we go forward in the committee, we'll keep having discussion, and hopefully here in some future board date, we can come up with a new set of restrictions, county road restrictions that we maybe live with for a little while. And you never do. I mean,
I agree.
There's changes, and the thought was good, but we found out that maybe we needed a little more work on it yet. So, any more discussion on it, or? Did you want to say something? Come on up here. Yeah.
The engineer sends out what?
Okay. We could get your name.
Jerry Meyer, Beatrice Concrete.
Yeah.
The engineer said about the same thing I was thinking of. I did some study on the tear weights of the Gage County trucks, and I found 7 to 8% loss of load that you can haul with the 80,000 pound, and that means 27% more trips and to do the same job. So that's going to cost quite a bit more. If on your rock lettings, if you state to the bidders that the rock will all be delivered, the county's not going to deliver it anymore, and I don't think that'd be a wise thing to do. But if you did, you can expect the haul rates to go up about 27%. So it's still going to cost more money. So that's about all I have to say. Thanks.
No, thank you, Terry. So we'll keep that on our committee agendas for the next several committees, and hopefully we'll start to develop another plan maybe to change our road restrictions. So any more discussion on that? We've got about 7 more minutes here.
I got Lisa.
Lisa, you think we can do the wind farm thing in 7 minutes?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Go ahead, because then you don't have to stay if you don't want to for the 1 and 6. So
home and work. I'm going to give you a map first of all, just as you. I want to reference to you a little bit more towards if you're out in Nebraska driving around. This is the current map as of February from the Nebraska Energy Association. So this shares. I'm sorry, you got one. This shares where the wind farms are in Nebraska, and also who's purchasing the power and who owns the power. So in discussion as we hear the press and so forth, and I think you're going to see some Nebraska Energy Department give us more information and so forth, but we started the process actually at our zoning meeting on Thursday. So we had a good meeting. Sarah Hatzell from the Lancaster County and Lincoln Planning Commission, she's employed by them, actually came down and attended our meeting. Very good meeting. Explained to us kind of where Volkswind is at in the northern part with Lancaster County, and then also how our regs compare to their regs. So in reference to what we found is that when the application came in for Volkswind, they asked Volkswind to withdraw their application based upon the fact of more how their regs are written in contrast to if the administrative part of it, right, Myron? So if it would get
voted down, they would never have the opportunity to come back and renegotiate. So Lancaster County actually asked them to withdraw that application, whereas within our regulations, they withdrew our application on their own. So it just has a little bit of difference of way our regs are written and so forth. So what Lancaster County and Lincoln has asked us is they're in the planning sessions of reevaluating their regs. And a lot of it is based upon new scientific research that's out there in terms of measuring DBA, the ambient sounds, how much of annoyance there is. Obviously, there's a natural annoyance, you know, with that. So there's now some materials out there that have been published. So when we go to doing some comparisons and looking at our regs again and studying them, we may have some scientific research now that will help us with that. So they have actually asked us to participate and attend their meetings as they reevaluate their wind regs. Sounds like they'll be meeting maybe every 2 weeks. They haven't given us that those dates yet, but that will, they within their regs bring in the health department, Lancaster County Health Department. And so Lancaster County has actually got some suggestions and in reference to the DBA, the decimal points of sound. And they are looking at correlating that DBA to non-participating and participating. So there's a lot. Our commission actually has to learn about the noise levels because when you're learning about the pitch and the ambient sound, and then you've got your natural sounds of your wind. So it will be a learning process for us, and we do want to do that. So, and then also as we kind of look at the pressure waves that happen with the whoosh, whoosh, you know, and in determining that, those are things that we don't know. Obviously, when you asked us before to revisit the wind regs about a year and a half ago, we brought it up for discussion, and we felt like we wanted the NextEra project to get underway, you know, so that we could start hearing, you know, some of the negativity and the positive parts about that. So we're ready to readdress it. It's not something that we want to rush into. We want to be able to utilize Lancaster County's invitation to us. I think that will be a tremendous help to us as we look at our regs. As you can see, though, on that sheet, the thing that we have to also keep in mind is that, you know, there's a wide variety of purchasers of that power, and the easements that they have worked with through their participating people, different agreements are met. You know, it's a good comparison with one company is if you got a turbine, you received all the funds, you know, from the generation of that turbine. Another company, you know, actually kind of averages that. If you did an easement within their agreement, then even though you didn't receive a turbine, you receive incentives of any energy that's produced. So there again, we have to compare that a little bit to those non-participating and those participating too. So other things we look at, we'll look at the whole package of wind regs, not just the sound and those participating. We'll take a real close look at single energy systems. As you know, we just had Ann's Feedlot that came forward. That was the kind of something that we need to look at some state legislation because they've set their, I think, 22 kilowatts. Now, so maybe it's something that we can evaluate not having to go through a special use permit hearing process if the zoning administrator sees that they've met everything within their application. So those are things we'll look at.
Because Lancaster County had three different levels in there, and like the one at Ann's, I believe that we thought that would fall in a different level where it didn't have to come before the public hearings like we had.
We think
and stuff. So that's something to look at. I mean, so
yeah. And we know we're going to have more single energy systems come up. We know there's also some incentives with solar power too, but this is in the beginning stages, so we won't include that into this, you know, this review. But
no, and like I talked about a committee meeting, then part of what we agreed with Sarah was when they have this wind working group,
mm-hmm.
and as they meet,
part of our conversation with the zoning board, and we had last Thursday, was that the zoning board would appoint one person and have an alternate, and so would our county board appoint one person and have an alternate to be a part of that WIN working group. Those are going to be public meetings. They're completely open to the public, so as many of us want to, we can go to it, but we kind of each will designate one person to make sure that somebody's there to, what she called it, work with the two counties so that we kind of know what each other is somewhat doing, because right now we don't, we're not real familiar. And also then that we can maybe learn a lot from this to help set our regulations and stuff. So at our next meeting, I'll keep visiting with you guys, and we'll see who we appoint and have an alternate, not saying that anybody can't also attend those meetings and stuff. So
yeah, we know that it's going to take some time just as we review WIN regs throughout Nebraska. We really want to look at the Iowa area too, you know, where there's a lot of and it might be the point of us to evaluate, you know, how many counties have reevaluated and changed their setbacks. And so the question will be whether setbacks will solve our problem with the, you know, with the DBAs or what. So although our setbacks right now set in Gage County are greater than what Lancaster County is. So we're pretty conservative when we compare Lancaster County to Gage County. It's the DBAs, so the sound level, that we are not at this time. So
they are currently at 35 and we're at 60.
And they place some time limits on during the daytime hours versus the nighttime hours, you know, and that sort of thing. So
those interesting to compare them. Yeah. So but we will have that for our next meeting. And thank you, Lisa.
For the next meeting you want, or
no,
just until
no,
we...
No, because you guys need to point... At your next meeting, you were going to appoint one for that committee, and we will, too, at our next board meeting, so that when that... they will be forwarding us the information when those start happening. The other thing was, I did visit with Hannah Keelan, who helped... In 2010 was when we adopted our wind farm regulations here in Gage County. They were the company that helped us, and they are getting a proposal together with some thoughts and ideas, and they're going to send that to me, and I haven't heard from them yet, and staff too. So their kind of thoughts and ideas on maybe what we all need to look at, or a proposal as to what they could help us with. So,
yeah, and it's apparent that Lancaster County has done a lot of the background, you know, they've done the research. So this information might be right out here in front of us, and we may not have to pay for additional services, but we certainly want to, you know, utilize everything that we can. So
they have more resources. They have a lot.
They have the health department there.
Health department. So thank you.
Thank
you very much, Lisa. Any more questions for Lisa? Thank you very much. At 9:33 on the clock, we have scheduled a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestion, or observations relating to the Gage County 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan. We'll entertain a motion to go into a public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill. Vote. We're in a public hearing for this 1- and 6-year plan. Right. Oh, vote was 5-0. Sorry. Caitlin and Mark.
Map time.
Mark Minnelli, Minnelli Wagner and Associates, Lincoln.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. You've all been given a packet for the proposed 1 and 6. In that packet are the Form 7s in the back, which are the individual projects and project descriptions. And then in the front, there should be a series of maps, and these are the maps that we're going to have up here, so you can refer to those. The first one I'd like to refer to is the previous year's plan. And as you go around, this is the one-year plan that we had last year, and what happened with them. So you can see, if it's done, the projects were complete, they're paid out, and they were done in the last calendar year. This is over 2 fiscal years, so this is the last calendar year. There are several projects that we have that are shown as they're not done yet because they haven't been finaled out. There's minor work to be done, or there's several culvert jobs that we have purchased the culverts, but we haven't put them in place yet. So some of those would be the delayed projects. So we had a pretty aggressive schedule last year. We've done quite a bit, as you can see on there. And anything that wasn't done there that remained on the one-year plan, we'll go through those six map. So is there any questions on any projects that didn't get done or are excuses of why they didn't? Go until we get to the one-year plan. Okay. And that map is in your in the document, so you can look at it at your leisure. See, so the next map that you have in there is the 1 and 6 projects. 1 year is our schedule of anything that we feel that potentially may happen in this next calendar year. Those are the red numbers. The black numbers are the 6 year. That's our long-term plan. These are the numbers that correspond to those Form 7. So if you want more detail, you can go back there and kind of see what we were thinking about doing there and our estimate on the initial estimate of the cost. So we've added a couple of projects, and I'm going to let Galen come up and talk a little bit about those. I know that we had a couple last-minute entries there. Galen, do you want to talk a little bit about the additional projects that we have this year?
Yes, on the one-year plan, we added, I'll find that. I believe it's east of 21 Nemaha, and we're going to be replacing a small timber bridge with a culvert, and there's also going to be a half-mile grading. There is we're going to be building a new residence on this half-mile, and the half-mile is presently dirt, so we got to grade that up to new standards. And the bridge that is in there is in not very good shape, and that they'll be replacing that also. Another one added was actually on the six-year plan. That was a little bridge that sits right on the outskirts of Adams on the Blacktop Road, and that was formerly years ago. It was actually put in the federal aid bridge project, and then when they done away with that, they were all taken out. So that was the two most recent ones that was added on there.
Look at your Form 7s or the list of projects, anything from Project 1059, are new. Now, one thing you'll notice in there, there's a lot of projects, but what we've been doing is adding any capital improvement that we have in there, including shouldering and striping, which historically we haven't. The reason we're doing that is we want everybody to know what our plans are, because it's a major expenditure of funds. These are the construction projects? No, but we want them out there in the public for not only you, but the constituents to see. So a lot of these, if you look at them, of the new projects, you've got several culvert projects, but then there's quite a bit of shouldering and a couple armor coat projects that we added. We'll talk about those in a minute. But then our striping miles are in there as well. So the overall big projects, there really weren't that many added. Trying to clean up the already one-year project we have, but then we added our, let's call them heavy maintenance projects, so that they're out there. Armor coat, I think one of the armor coat sites we were talking about was on the Quarry Road, on the Holmes Hill Road.
Holmes Hill Road, yes, is one of them.
One of the plan of actions that we'd like to consider, and we'll discuss this further, we have heavy rutting from the quarry north, or heavy for compared to what we've had elsewhere in the county, about 3/4 inch. One of the solutions or strategies that we can have is we do a fine-tooth milling. You come in, you mill the high ridges off, and we armor coat it. So that gets rid of the bathtub effect in there, reestablishes drainage. Now, it won't stop rutting, but it should slow down over time. So maybe 5 years from now, we start to see some more rutting. But we don't lose any structural capacity because we don't take the wheel paths out. We just take the humps out. And then come and armor coat it. That takes the roughness out of the road and then seals it. So that would be a cost-effective way to propagate that road.
without doing a structural overlay. So that's something that we'll, you know, come to Road and Bridge and talk about strategy for. Instead of having to spend $220,000 a mile, we can get away with quite a bit less. What other road code miles did you manage?
Armor Coat miles, there was the Claytonia South and DeWitt. That was approximately 8 miles. 2 miles north of Claytonia. The 6 miles Ellis North. About 4.5 miles on the North 19th Street. And, of course, approximately 8.5 miles on the Holmesville Road. And those will also all, after their armor coat, will be paint striped. Another road that's going to be paint striped is South Virginia. There's approximately 7 miles. That's on the for paint striping.
I guess I got two questions on this. One, when is the last time the Virginia Road was armor coated? It was not last year, right?
No. No. It's been, oh, gosh, I can't really tell you off the top of my head.
It's been a while.
Several years.
Okay. And my other question is on the Holmesville Road. The north 3 miles, you know, that sounds like a reasonable thing because it's actually in better shape than the rest of it.
Right.
The rest of it is showing an awful lot of alligator and cracking on it. Is it
going to? Coating will help seal some of that, but it's not a fix-all.
Yeah.
But it will push us down the road a little bit.
How far do you think it'll push us down the road?
Well, we need to. We've done the assessments on the last miles we have. We'll just have to talk about it. And
okay.
We may have to do some patching prior to doing that sealing.
And some of that asphalt is approaching 30 years on
this. Yes. And stretch. That alligator cracking is just weathering. It's
yep.
drying. And a lot of times we find that's in the upper 2 inches. It's not all the way through.
Yeah.
So if it's not pumping, then it's not a subgrade issue. It's just wore out. If that's the case, then we can patch that and then armor coat it to seal it. Hickory Road.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Hickory Road, where we're at. The west mile is in the right-of-way stage, negotiation with landowners. The east miles, we're in discussion with the power company. We made major changes on all aspects to avoid underground irrigation, utilities, and power poles. So we're back to the utility companies trying to work out with them and their timing as far as any relocation of poles, which is really minimized by the redesign. And then the east miles, we'll send contact letters out here probably within the next couple of weeks with landowners explaining the new changes and start the right-of-way process on the east miles. So that's moving. That's in the detail stage now.
But west of the bridge, those easement letters were sent out earlier.
We sent the process is that we send out a letter and we give the landowners legal notice that there's a project coming, which they've all known because we've met with them multiple times. And then we say, here's your options for right away. And we list them. You know, obviously we start by saying, would you be willing to donate? Of course, we get phone calls back saying, hey, are you hitting my irrigation? And we redesigned it to avoid them. And then the other is, you know, we purchase and that's where we're at now. So
you send those letters registered so you make sure they have them?
We do.
Okay.
And we give them a time frame we'd like them to respond. And they all respond.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure they could have come back and say that.
We're going back and putting together a short form appraisal of what we feel the project or what the land is worth. And then that'll go to Road and Bridge for approval appraisal. So you'll see how we came up with the numbers. You'll approve it, and then we'll send letters of offer out to them. And then at that point, we'll give them so long to respond one way or the other.
Any rough timelines that you have on this road?
It's all going to be based on, if everybody cooperates between the utility and the right-of-way, there's no reason we shouldn't have lettings this spring and seeing some activity, structures, culverts. We got to decide if we're going to do any of it, if we want to separate out. There's the bridge. We got a two-span bridge down there. We got to make a decision. We'll talk about that in Road and Bridge on the type and if we're going to do it. And the heavy trucks that we have on it needs to be a substantial structure rail-wise. So we got to decide exactly what we want to do, whether we will pull it out or do it with our own crew and et cetera.
With in answer to that question, on this sheet that I have from Galen, projects for 2015, he has them all listed priority-wise, and number one is finishing Philly Bridge. Number two is at Nemaha Federal Bridge. And number three is Hickory Road. So, you know, he has that up the top of the list.
And we're working on it, and daily we're discussing issues that are popping up with Galen in our office. And so it's we're trying to get it packaged to where we can pull the trigger.
So I know in the past we've had conversations with Norris Public Power, and as they put together their construction season list, they want to know what our 1 and 6 is as well. And so I know we've had conversations with them, but I think we and I'm just kind of adding fuel to the fire here. Let's keep pushing people. Let the landowners know that, you know, we're trying to pull out all the speed bumps here so we can get this thing going. I think we've sat around and talked about it for quite a little bit. And I think kind of the stars are aligned, if you will, to get this thing done. And we need everybody to respond. We need landowners to sit down and talk and have these conversations. And because I think we're ready here, but there's a lot of external things that we sit around and wait on that push this out. And I think my impression is, based on the conversations, we're committed, but we need help from the external entities to help us get this thing going. So I appreciate your all's work getting this and going. And
Jeff Wagner, who you guys all know, has been working with Jay at the power company as far as what we changed and where we're at, because we saw their plan for the year, and he's working with them as far as, hey, this is what we've done to avoid you guys.
Good.
So that's progressing.
Good.
That's the big gorilla. That, and obviously right away, but landowners were all acceptable to the project, so we're not running any interference there, just typical right away stuff. So that's Philly, Federal Aid, just an update on that. It got shut down for the winter. The bridge is done. Some repairs that have to be done. We had a few panels crack. They'll repair those, finish the returns, the grading, the seating, and that should be done early spring. And then that project is done. So there will be a period of time when we actually close the road again to allow them to finish the project. And then they'll finish it, and it'll be open permanently at that point. So that should be done first thing in the spring. The other federal aid job, state's taking care of that. I have no idea where that's at. I think that's about it, other than the one-year project. So.
Once again, I'll just mention one other thing. Once again, if you look through that project list, there's quite a few culverts, timber bridges being removed and culverts replaced, and quite a bit of that work being done, as it has been in the last 2-3 years. Before that, I'm sure, but we've stayed fairly aggressive on that culvert replacement and bridge replacement, small bridge, timber bridge replacement. So.
And we're putting those on the 1 year, even if they're smaller structures, just so you can see what they are. And the advantage that we have is we can go back and pull several years back and show them all on the map what's been accomplished, too, that if you ever go, some counties go to the state fair and put it up so people can see where the tax money's going, where it's planning, and those are easily put together.
Just additional comment, and pardon the remedial theatrics here, but I appreciate the fact that we have a realistic 1 and 6 year plan. We don't just throw stuff in there to appease people. We go through and we look at the needs that are out there, and we hit the priorities. And if you look at, we put these side by side, this is a completed list. We completed 3/4 of the size of the projects that are in here for the next year. So I appreciate that. It's realistic. And we don't just throw stuff in a 6-year plan where you'll see that's a lot smaller too. So we're realistic at what we think we can get done. And then we get done what we say we're going to get done. So I think that's proof positive that we're trying to spend tax dollars reasonably and realistically and not just throwing pie in the sky to make people feel good. So I appreciate the work, again, that's taking place in the highway department.
Well, it comes from the board. Yeah. So we just do what we're told.
Yeah. I think the first year is set on the board. I thought the 1-year plan, that was kind of a wish list too. And they did a lot of things in there, but I thought last year that when you put together the things we accomplished last year, I thought, wow, we had a great year. Our department did a lot of work. There was a lot of projects that they did with the help of everybody. And I'll agree with Matt. It when you put those two pages side by side and you look at what was done and then also what we're hoping to get done this year, we as a county have had a lot of work involved in that and a lot of people, Galen and everybody else, of why it's been accomplished.
The road staff are the ones getting this done.
Actually, it's all Terry Juergens doing.
Yeah, I was going to say Terry Juergens, yeah.
A lot of communication. That's what we need to keep working on. Let's keep helping each other. And as long as we do that, we're going to be successful.
And I will say this also. We were fortunate through this process the last several years to have a road bond that was approved. And that really helped our county. The people of the county stepped forward and said, hey, realize how important the roads are.
Absolutely.
The phone calls we get, and some days are what we don't want, but we get a lot of phone calls. Majority of the phone calls as board members are roads, and especially when snow isn't great or whatever. But we realize that. And I also say this, when we look at our budget, we spend a fair amount of money on roads in this county. And going forward, what might limit some of these projects, again, is money and stuff. And it will be how we had finance and everything, how we coordinate everything and how we can squeeze some money out here or there or allocate money to different projects, how they go forward.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mayor.
Yeah.
And since you did, what you just said was our delivery system is not the problem in this county or other counties. In other words, if we need to contract, we have contractors available. If we can do it ourselves, we do it ourselves. And if you look at LB 609 creates a bridge commission for additional state funds. The commission decides where the money's spent, and then they design build those projects instead of just funding additional restricted funds to the counties, saying, here's some additional funds that has to be used on infrastructure. They're going to a completely different delivery system. So please review that. If you're all for it, God bless you. But the bottom line is we've never had an issue here where it's like we can't get this done because we don't have people to do it, we don't have contractors to do it. It's the statement you just made on funds. So that's the issue that we asked for at our bridge funding tour, and the report that came out and the bill that's out there right now changes the entire delivery system. So if you don't like the way it reads, get involved because it's the hearings on the 9th. And talk
hearings
to
on when? The 9th of March?
The 9th.
The 9th of March.
Yep. So.
Well, and if you look at the workability of this county and what we've got done working together, we've been able to get a lot of stuff done locally and left a lot of the nonsense off the table. We've just got it done.
It's not there.
Got it done. And I think, you know, risk of patting ourselves on the back, we've done a pretty good job here of managing those dollars with local control, with input and resources from the outside to help us. But we've been able to move those projects along. Consequently, granted, they were federal aid bridges, but you look at the size and the types of bridges that we've been able to do here and some of the other projects, doing that locally, it can be done.
So that's our 106 proposal. If anything comes up through the year, we can always amend them with the 410. And then, of course, Dawn has to go through some hearing stuff. But hopefully we've caught everything and we don't have to do that.
Well, and hopefully we don't. But if at some time there is during the year, then we can adjust it or make changes toward it.
So if there's no questions, I'll let
you. Yeah, we did not have – thank you, Mark. We did not have anybody sign up to speak at our 1 in 6 year public hearing. So is there any more comments, I guess? Any more comments on the 1 in 6? If not, I entertain a motion to go out of the public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill to go out of the public hearing on our 1 in 6 year road plan. Vote. Motion 5-0. I believe next up on the agenda is I got to look at it so I work read it right. Approve or disapprove resolution on Gage County 1 in 6 year proposed highway improvement plan. 15-03.
I would make the motion to approve 15-03, the 1 in 6 year proposed highway improvement plan for Gage County.
Motion by Juergens, seconded by Bauman to approve for resolution on Gage County 1 in 6 year proposed hearing. 15-03. Comments? Vote. Vote is 5-0. Next up on the agenda is approve or disapprove referring tort claim received on 2-10 of 2015, Rhonda Reiber, Administrator of the State of Chad Gessen versus County of Gage to NIRMA.
Make a motion to approve the referral of the claim.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Byers. Roger, did you want to comment on it a little bit? Or?
Again, it's just a formality that we've already notified our carrier of this, so we have a record that we've done so in a timely fashion. They'll assign counsel on that, and I know I've been working with the sheriff's office, and we've already had some communique, so I won't say anything more.
More discussion. Vote. 5-0. Motion approved. Gus, present the fourth quarter report for Sheriff's Department and the jail.
And good
security.
Morning.
And security. We have also and security on there this time.
I have Brian do this thing here first to get back to court.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where's your tie? Look how well dressed Brian is with his tie.
Where's? Go ahead, make fun of it, man.
You gotta have a place to hang your camera, right?
I'm sorry, my voice is about like listening to his fingernails on the chalkboard. I don't know where I would get a cold from. Hopefully, you were provided sheets that look like this.
Back.
Coffee spilled. So one of them would be the fourth quarter statistics, and the other one would be the statistics that we started in April. I started here in March, and in April is the first month, full month that we started keeping statistics. So. I'm not going to bore you and read these through line by line, except to say I'm very proud of the work that we do. I know they're just numbers, but there's work involved in that.
I've got one quick question there. It says 12 people were remanded into custody. So that's 12 people you arrested then?
12 people that the judge remanded into custody sentencing.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you handle that? Like when the two people, intoxicated people, showed up?
We inform their attorney if they have an attorney, the county attorney, and then the county attorney's office informs the judge. And then it's up to the judge. The judge has discretion on how he wants to handle it. On some people that are there for like a traffic ticket, he'll send them home and have them come back another date. On some people, if they're there for sentencing on a serious crime, we'll take them to the jail so that he knows when they come back they're able to understand the process there. So it's up to the judge.
I've noticed that in the paper, too, and when the judge makes a decision to send intoxicated personnel, does he check to see if somebody is there with them to make sure that they are able to take them home?
We do that. We make sure that we're just not kicking them out the door and into the car. So, yes.
Good. Thank you. We need to make that clear, I think, the news media, too, because, you know, if the judge sends them out intoxicated and, hey, not a good thing.
I think the only time that it hits the news is when they are taken into custody over at the jail. So otherwise, it's not, other than the stats here, doesn't show up anyplace else.
So, Mr. Chairman, just as a comment, because when we approve this will be made public record, is there anything else? Okay.
No,
to
not in the court reports. If I have some that, that'll be separate for my committee meeting.
Okay, just so there's people know that there's 261 cutting and stabbing devices that are being brought into the facility.
I think it's important for us to understand what comes in. I've had numerous comments from the judges and from the courthouse staff that they're very impressed with the work getting done. Brian's doing an excellent job. So hope the board can see that in stats, what's being done over there. Just one person bring.
I guess I'm a little bit discouraged with these 261 assuming people that brought these in, that in this day and age you would feel like you would need to bring that type of stuff into a public building anyway.
We get Yeah.
A little alarming to me that...
We do get people to come to the screening station that will make the comment, you know, because we'll ask them at the beginning, did you bring a cell phone, did you bring a knife or anything? You know, no cell phones, no knives. And a lot of them now are saying, we've been told to leave those in our car. So I think that message is finally getting out, but they still occur. So that's why we have to watch for them. So those would have been 261 instruments that would have been in the courtroom, you know, with defendants and people that they are in civil lawsuits against or have inmates in the same room. You know, you don't know. That's why we're there.
And also, when you look at a knife was found hidden in a bathroom, elevator, and planter, I presume a knife was found in each place.
Yes, that's correct.
In the bathroom, in the elevator, and the planter. Is there any way to monitor when you find that to see if somebody is coming back to pick those up? I know you can't just stand there and watch it, but is there any way to monitor that?
Usually, this is how that occurs. Please return your knife to your car, and within 45 seconds, they're back up at the screening station. So we have us, Rosie's our designated knife finder. And she'll go and she'll find the knife and retrieve it back to us. And then we don't say a thing to that person. We just let them figure out that their knife is gone. So, and then we secure it that way. I don't want them to go back to retrieve the knife. I want the knife. So we consider it abandoned property and we secure it.
I mean, you know,
so
that's the thing that scares me. Why do they have it? What's going on? Is there some scary
I think most of these cases, the three that we have there, are knives that we told them to take out of the courthouse.
So they took them
and so they hid them some other place instead of walking out to the parking lot.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think, anything nefarious was taking place. It's just something practical that they did. But still, you don't know, who's going to get it. So, anything else?
Just have Rogers.
I just add, again, from our perspective, we appreciate Brian brings up some items that we don't necessarily pay attention to, like where we're seated when we're doing sentences and stuff. And I appreciate that. I'm probably the worst offender in not paying attention because I've always sat in that seat. Uh-huh. But everybody, as the guy said, on the third floor appreciates your work, and you guys do a great deal of planning before we even get down there to court, and I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Tony?
Your quarterly jail report. Bookings.
Would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Tony Shepherdson, jail director. Bookings, male, 159. Female, 69. Felonies, 142. Misdemeanors, 209. 81 other. Sheriff's office, arrests, 152. Beatrice Police, 60. Wymore PD, 3. State Patrol, 3. Other agencies, 10. Alcohol-related arrests were 18. Average daily population, 21. Average outside hold population, the high number was 8. Low number was 1. Income from outside prisoner holds was 0. Income from fingerprints taken was 250, and while we're on that, BSDC, we will be doing BSDC's fingerprinting for them, for their staff, and then we'll bill them monthly. That's how they requested we do that. So the fingerprint income should go up. Income from inmate phone usage, $1,163.39. Commissary commission income, $6,789.79. Spent outside prisoner holding, $29,896.18. Under medical, general care, $10,567.96. emergency medical care, $4,571.51, and vision and dental were both zero for a total medical of $15,139.47. Any questions?
Yeah, Tony, I just got one. Some of this we were a little lower on, even in outside holding of prisoners, but also of, I don't know, what do you, business or whatever. Any particular idea or theory why we had a little less here in this fourth quarter than
we? Well, I'm thinking. Our number or the numbers have dropped for people being arrested.
Okay.
We're also looking at here the last. I want to knock on wood. Last month or so, our numbers have been pretty low, too.
I've noticed that looking at your website, too, that, yeah.
So, and a lot of that is the season.
Season, okay.
Yep. You'll see in the spring and summer, numbers will start coming back.
You want to be home for the holidays?
Yep.
Well, I've often, several times, I've mentioned about the fact that our amount or the number of inmates has been quite high. And I also, I think I should mention, too, all the times when we were down, that I should mention that.
So. Now, our numbers are down, and you're going to see that we still have some outside holds. That's because either, one, we set them to D&E because we can't meet their needs here for mental health or other reasons, and also due to staffing issues. We're not holding females right now.
Yeah.
So we bring them in. We can hold them for no more than 8 hours here, and then we ship them out. So.
Thank you. Okay. Any more questions?
No.
Thank you, Tony. Gus.
All right, Miller Gutherson, Gage County Sheriff. Fourth quarter report for 2014 for Sheriff's Office. We had 1,673 calls for service. We had 105 accidents, 101 citations, 251 warnings, 105 arrests. We had 266 papers served, 92 arrest warrants. We earned $2,272 in fees earned. Mileage earned was $2,888.64. Copies generated $31.75. Distress warrants collected in full was $1,209.56. And a partial payment of none. Hotel inspections, we have $2,910. We had approximately 74,395 miles driven patrol units, 3,017 miles for prisoner transports, $710.18 reimbursed back to county on grant monies, no meth labs, 13 drug violations, 350 reserve miles, and 20 reserve hours. I'll indicate on here these hours are breaking less and less. They have done away with reserve deputy status in the state of Nebraska against my wishes. And so we only have two left. Whoever you had at the time is grandfathered, and once they're done, they're out of here, and then they have to go full basic, which is 16 weeks. We're talking about going to 18, and it's not going to happen. So, again, I'm going to take a hit on help there as well. So we had 783 billing checks, and of those, we found six doors that were open. Any questions?
Questions?
No. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Gus. We need a motion to place these reports on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Jorgens, to place Gage County Sheriff's Department Jail and Security Report on file. Vote. 5-0. Discussion on Engage bylaws. Put this on here because tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I guess, is part of our annual meeting going to be at Engage. One of the things that we'll vote on tomorrow is changing the county board seat and the city board seat on there to ex officio. Still a full board seat, but they won't have a voting at that Engage meetings. There's been a lot of discussion going back and forth the last 2 months on that, 3 months, 4 months. Came about mainly when Bob Morgan with the city council there wasn't allowed to vote when the one proposal came forth from Engage for Alan Cruz. And due to the Accountability Disclosure Commission's ruling on that, Bob could not have discussion on there or vote that day at the meeting. Since then, there's been a lot of discussion. I know I visited with several of the board members here. Don't know if it was all. Roger's been part of this discussion with Tobias and everything. And we're going to vote on changing that to ex officio board members for the city and the county board seats on there tomorrow. So you want to talk a little bit, Roger? I don't care. Whatever.
Well, yeah. Again, you know, there was an issue that was brought up, and there was a recent Supreme Court case that we looked at to try and get further guidance from. The city has a little bit more unique situation with their
LB 840.
840 money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have that.
Right.
On the other hand, we are a co-equal partner with the city, and so I think that's something you folks probably should look at also, even though we may not be impacted by that specific issue. And again, and I was talking with Myron, you know, the county and the city still maintain, I don't want to use the word control, but a direct
influence.
You guys can keep an eye on things because you write checks to them to support the Engage group. And I think we still have some backlash, if you will, from some bad feelings that took place years ago. And I think I would just say it's time to put those aside. And a lot of the people that raised those kind of concerns are no longer with the various groups. So I don't see anything that's going to impact you legally. You're still going to have your control, your ability to, you know, by having an ex officio person there on the board, they can express their opinions and carry to that board concerns of this board of supervisors. Again, I think it's worked very well. And again, as we all know, with a board like that, it's the people that make the board. You can create rules and everything else. It's still the people that are devoting their time, their volunteers. They do a good job, quite frankly. I think you've done a good job picking people. So I don't see any problem with it.
And I know, visited with Matt about this, and to change the bylaws, they needed to give us written notice, and they have forwarded written notice to Roger.
Yep.
And stuff about the fact that we'll be changing this. We were also going to vote on board members at this meeting, but we're not now, just several things. We've got the possibility about changing the board members from 5 from the county and 5 from the city to 4 from the county and 4 to the city. Because of a lot of discussions gone on there, too, the last several months about the active board members. And I will say this. When we started this board down there, there was some activity there. It took a lot of work to put that board together. I compliment the board members in getting that board together and the first year or two what they did. But the last 6 months, the last year, and I don't know if it's because of Glennis McClure that hire or she's being more involved or what, the activity or the amount of work down there has picked up. And I will compliment them on that. And because of that, some of them are some of the board members that have been on there, that time commitment just hasn't been working for them because of their job, because of whatever, family, you know, whatever. And there's been a lot of discussion amongst the Engage board, should we or could we go to 4 from the county and 4 from the city and reduce that? We are not voting on that here on the 19th. That is for discussion tomorrow again. If we change that, or if that does get changed, that will we will have to have another meeting before March 10th to change that, and we'll have a special meeting. We will have a meeting before March 10th anyway to finalize the board member election and stuff because we have some from the county, but we don't have quite enough names yet, and I just don't care to put those names out there yet. They'll all come out in time because we're still actively looking for a couple more names from the so-called county area to put on those up for election for those names and stuff. So, and probably tomorrow, hopefully, Glennis has all the names and stuff, but I don't want the name out there also and then somebody saying, well, I don't want to run against him because I won't win either. So, but we have some pretty good names. The city, because if we went to four, they would only have one position open, and Pat Nurth is that position. We have two names already committed to run against him, which is very good. So need to do some more work yet. Part of what happened, too, was Andrew Johansson was one of our board members, him and me, on a county part for the nominating committee, and he resigned here about 2 months ago because of time commitment. So I haven't quite got as many as we should yet and stuff, so I'll just say that. So, but part of that will be at that meeting tomorrow, which we'll have that discussion and stuff. So John gave me some names. We were able to contact some of them. That went real good and stuff. So we're diligently working yet. I'm supposed to go and stop and meet with another guy today again. So,
and I guess as far as the number of members on the Engage board, you know, with the city and the county rep not voting, you'll have two less people voting on these issues. Might be.
Yes, you will. Yeah.
Well, the other the way that we structured the agreement is it's not an evergreen type agreement that just kind of perpetuates itself. We put end dates in that for a specific reason. So for some reason, we just don't like the way either the city or the county, the way that the organization is going, it's done. It's over. We don't get into this perpetuating agreement that we kind of ran into before. It's just over, and at some point, you know, we can stop and those funds come back and we still have that influence. And again, you look at the types of folks that are being picked as board members, these are good people in the community that are trying to do the right thing, and I don't think that, you know, nor before nor now that there's ever anyone trying to do anything bad. It's just if it would go a direction that a particular political body wasn't comfortable with, there's an end to the agreement, and you sit down and renegotiate it. And that's really what we're doing now, is that agreement's up. So as these bylaws changes are made, those will come back to this group and the city to see if that's something we want to continue to be a part of. And so, you know, there's a lot of checks and balances in there, and I think that everybody involved has been very forthright with information, and we think this, we think that. But just like anything else, if you don't modify an organization over a period of time just to make sure that it's working properly, you can keep going down a road with something that's just not working, and you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. So I think that from time to time we have to look at modifying things, and I think that's probably where the group's at.
Yeah, and, you know, Matt did a lot of work at putting this organization back together, and when we did that work, came up with some of these thoughts, these ideas, and board members not voting, amount of them. These were what we came to agreement on. Well, maybe we need to adjust those as we go forward or whatever and stuff. So, but I will give Glennis McClure a compliment and that board. They the last like I said, 6 months, a year, activities really picked up. I went to the CBDG meeting or whatever here a couple weeks ago with the Dempster application, and one of those board members on there said they've sat on there for 10 years and they've had more activity in the last 6 months than they had in the previous 10 years. So, I mean, if that's all correct, I go, whoa. I mean, and I don't know why. I don't know what the reason. I can't put a finger on it. I wasn't familiar with all the goings on in the city and stuff. But I know when you read the paper and you see what the city council's doing, there's been a lot of LB 840 funds, a lot of the CBDG things. So that's good. That's very good. Our community, our area, we need economic development. We need a group. And I'll give Matt a lot of compliment. When this went together, he was really the driving force to get this back together and stuff. You, the mayor, and everybody involved. And I think it's taken a while. We had some bumps along the road. We had some major hiccups or whatever. But things are, I'll say this, they are getting busy. And I hope that continues. So, but we have a meeting, I think, tomorrow at 4 or whatever. So, but wanted to more than anything bring everybody a little bit more up to date on what was going on there. So, the only thing I have left on here, did we cover everything? The only thing I have left on here is we will be going into executive session for discussion on some possible litigation. Is anybody else have anything else for the board? We covered everything.
I think it looks like you got everything.
Covered everything. We will need a motion to go into executive session for some litigation update necessary for protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of individuals.
I would move we go into closed session.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Vote. Got 5-0. Sorry. Thank you.
Are you
okay?
We're on. Entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauer, second by Bauman. Vote. Any more discussion or any more items for the board? Otherwise, the meeting will be adjourned.
Was that Byers and Bauman?
Byers and Bauman.
Okay. I was thinking it was.
You said Bauer and Bauman.
Oh, Byers. Sorry. I did that earlier in the meeting, too. I did.
You would be surprised how hard it is. You work with people, and you look right at them when they make the motion. And you can't come up with anything. You're blind.
They ought to change those signs so they're pointed in here. I hate to tell you that. I'm going.
We'll just start wearing them right here.
I know. It would help. I'll agree with you 100%.
I know. It takes for everybody to pin on when
you have to be able to read them from here.
Yeah.
You do. You get there and you go,
Yeah. And I do it all the time on the boards that I chair. So it's
happens.
Otherwise, meeting adjourned.
Thank you.